And we want to start our reasoning about the new birth with the book of Hebrews in chapter 9. Chapter 9 I've often called the center of the Bible or the heart of the Bible because it summarizes and refers to what God did in the Old Covenant, what He did in the New through Jesus and His sacrifice, and it refers to the return of our Lord for His people in the end. Here in Hebrews chapter 9, we have a very important statement about the new birth, about the requirement of the new birth, and it uses reason. In verses 16 and 17, the author of Hebrews says, where a testament is, and a testament is someone's last will, where a testament is, there must necessarily be the death of the testator. Now, the dictionary definition of testator is one who makes out a will, especially one who has died and has left a will. And where someone has a will, they must die in order for the particulars of that will to be enforced. You could write a will out for someone to have your car, but they can't have your car until you're dead. Where a testament is, where the New Testament is, where this new covenant came into being, there had to be the death of the testator, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the testator of the New Testament. New Testament and New Covenant, by the way, are the same thing. Covenant is another way of saying testament. But then the author of Hebrews in chapter 9 goes on to the next verse and says, for a testament or a will is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator is living. Now, what this means for us in practical terms, if we're going to be reasonable based on the revelation of God, is that no one could possibly have been born again before Jesus died, because His death brought about the New Testament, and the New Testament is the new birth. By the new birth, we enter into His New Testament. That's reasonable. The New Testament was not in effect before Jesus died. And so it's only reasonable that we say that the new birth was available only after He died. If people could be born again before Jesus died, then what was the point of His death? He didn't have to die if people could be born again and have their sins washed away without the shedding of His blood. It's unreasonable to think that anyone was born again while Jesus walked the earth, or any time during the Old Testament. Without really thinking about it, many can assume, or many actually believe, that the disciples were born again before Jesus died. But how could that be? That's unreasonable based on the revelation that we have from God. Jesus died for the purpose of redeeming us from sin. That happens when we're born again. When your sins are washed away is when you enter into that new covenant with God. And that's the new birth. We read the stories in the Bible of people who believed Jesus while He walked on the earth, the woman at the well, Bartimaeus or Zacchaeus, His disciples, and others. But we cannot assume that they were born again simply because they humbled themselves to Jesus. Jesus, we're told in Galatians chapter 4, was born under the law. He died under the law. So if He was born and if He died during the time when the old covenant was still in effect, it wasn't possible to be born again yet. He came to die to bring that first covenant to its intended end. But His death was required. Everyone who believed in Jesus before He died, believed in an old covenant way. We're blessed by the many songs about the blood of Jesus, but many times people speak of the new birth as if that blood was not even necessary. In Hebrews chapter 9, again, in verse 22, we're told that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There was no remission of sins. There was no new birth. There was no new covenant before the blood was shed. the new covenant did not come about before Jesus died. His death was the precondition for the redemption of men. His death had to precede the new birth. So that's our first reasonable conclusion based on the revelation of God, that no one could be born again before Jesus died. But there's more revelation. The revelation, remember, is always perfect. Our reasoning can be flawed, especially if we jump to hasty conclusions. There's more information about this new birth. There's more information about what was necessary in order for redemption to come, remission of sins to come, the New Testament. Because we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:17, that if Christ is not raised from the dead, then your faith is in vain and you are still in your sins. So this is more revelation that we have to base our reason on. God communicated this revelation to Paul that if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, there would be no remission of sins. Based upon that revelation, it's only reasonable for us to conclude that no one was born again before Jesus' resurrection. If you are still in your sins, if he had not been raised, then we needed his resurrection in order for sins to be washed away. No one then could have been born again before Jesus' death, and no one could have been born again before his resurrection. But there's more revelation. In John 16, Jesus said that it was absolutely necessary that he go away in order for the Spirit to come. Now, we know that we're washed from our sins by the Spirit of God. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. The Spirit of God is what generates that new birth. Remember what he told Nicodemus? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We must have had God send the Spirit back to have that cleansing, to have that remission. The revelation then is this. No one was born again before his death. No one was born again before his resurrection. And no one was born again before his ascension. After which the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life came upon those who believed on him. Everything Jesus did was absolutely necessary for our salvation. Everything, his coming to earth, his life on earth, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. But there's more revelation. Hebrews 9 tells us, near the end of that chapter, in that part that I call the heart of the Bible, that Jesus offered himself to God so that God would wash away our sins. We have all these revelations from God that lead us to one conclusion if we're reasonable. We have in Hebrews saying a new covenant. The new covenant was based on the death of the testator, so no one was born again before Jesus died. We have the other scriptures saying that if Jesus isn't risen, then you're still in your sins. We have the scripture from Hebrews 9 saying Jesus offered himself to God for our sins after he ascended. So all of these things tell us that everything Jesus did was necessary for our sins to be washed away, for us to be born again. The revelation is that everything Jesus did was important. He didn't waste a moment. He didn't waste any of his strength. Everything he did had a purpose, and the purpose was so that we would be born again. Everything he did, his coming to earth, his life on earth, his death on earth, his resurrection, his ascension back to the Father, and his offering himself for the sins of the world, all tell us that it was important that he do that so that we could be born again, and that no one was born again before he completed every one of those steps. Now let's keep on being reasonable here based on this revelation. If no one was born again before Jesus' death, or his resurrection or ascension or offering himself to the Father after he ascended, then it's reasonable to assume that if that is true, that the new birth was dependent upon all of that, we should find then in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Jesus speaking to his followers of a new life which they did not have while they were following him. We should expect to find in the Gospels, before Jesus died, him telling his followers about an experience they didn't have but they needed it. And isn't it what he told Nicodemus? You must be born again. Nicodemus didn't even know what Jesus was saying. But that's what we have all the way through Jesus' ministry. He repeatedly promised the disciples that the Spirit was coming. This was at the Last Supper. Over and over again, he brought up the subject of the Holy Ghost coming upon them after he left. But that's only what reason would lead us to expect him to be saying. If the new birth is so important that we must have it, then certainly Jesus would have been talking about it. And that's what he did. In Matthew 18, we find Jesus telling all of his disciples, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Conversion is the new birth. No one is converted before he's born again, because in this New Testament, the form of conversion is the new birth. In Luke 22, he's very specific, talking to Peter and saying, "Peter, when you are converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren." You see, the disciples were not born again when they began to follow Jesus, but they put themselves in a position to be born again after Jesus finished his sacrificial work. But his blood was the purchase price of their redemption. It had to be shed, and then it had to be offered to the Father. In John 16, in the Last Supper scene, some of Jesus' last words were to describe or to compare his disciples' spiritual condition with the condition of a woman who had come to the hour of birth. He told them, "It's near." He told them, "You're sorrowful now because I'm telling you I'm going away, and your sorrow is like a woman who is going through birth pangs. But your sorrow," he said, "shall be turned into joy." When? When was their sorrow turned into joy? Before he died, or sometime after? When did Peter begin to mention a joy unspeakable and full of glory? Now, because of this generation's confusion concerning the word saved, I need to point this out. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus referred to some people this way: "Your faith has saved you." He did not mean that they were born again. To be born again was impossible for them because Jesus was still walking here on the earth. What did he mean then? It meant only that they were made whole in an Old Testament manner. It meant that they were forgiven. It meant that they were brought into a right standing with God under the law through their faith in the Son of God. The thief on the cross is probably with Jesus now in paradise, but he was not born again on the cross. He died the same day Jesus died. The new birth was not possible. Jesus may have forgiven his sins there as they hung on the cross together, the one hanging on his cross and Jesus hanging on his. But there was forgiveness of sins from the time of Moses and before. But the forgiveness of sins under the Old Testament was not being born again. If the revelation of God is true, and we know it is, then Jesus' death, burial, ascension, and offering himself to the Father had to come before anyone was born again. So we take that revelation and apply it to these situations: the thief on the cross, the woman at the well, Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, and the disciples, and many, many others. And we see their faith as good, and we see their connection with God as real, and we see the forgiveness of God for them as real, but we also understand that they could not possibly have been born again before Jesus died. And if no one was born again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or before them from Genesis all the way to the book of Acts, then we should expect to find the disciples to be talking about the new birth only from the book of Acts onward toward Revelation. We should find Jesus' followers and his disciples discussing the new birth, mentioning being born of the Spirit, only from the time of Acts onward. And that is exactly what we find.